This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Under pressure from potential donors, the Bush administration will allow a new agency to determine how to spend billions of dollars in reconstruction assistance for Iraq. The new agency will be run by the World Bank and the United Nations and will work independently of the American occupation. They are to announce the change at a donor conference in Madrid later this week. The change effectively establishes some of the international control over Iraq that the United States opposed in the drafting of the United Nations Security Council resolution that passed on Thursday. Thursday's resolution referred to two established agencies to ensure that aid would be audited. But diplomats say other countries were unwilling to make donations, calling the United States in power controlling Iraq's reconstruction and self-rule. Eight Marine reservists accused in the mistreatment of prisoners of war in Iraq were being held at Camp Pendleton on charges ranging from negligent homicide to dereliction of duty, military officials said. A lawyer representing one of the men said the Army did not have the necessary personnel to run the detention camp, and the reservists were untrained for the job. The reservists belonged to the 2nd Battalion, 25th Marine Regiment. Their hometowns were not immediately released, and it is not known if all had retained lawyers. A new poll suggests that unease with the current health care system has Americans thinking about a new approach that would mean care for all Americans and changes in laws governing prescription drugs. A 70% majority said it should be legal for Americans to buy prescription drugs outside the United States, according to the ABC News Washington Post poll. Such purchases can save money, but they violate the law. The poll found that more than half of Americans, 54%, are dissatisfied with the quality of health care in the United States. More news after this.
I'm Arthur Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Legal proceedings were expected Monday against a college student who is accused of hiding box cutters and other banned items aboard two Southwest Airlines planes. Prosecutors still were trying to determine what charges they might bring against Nathaniel Heatwell, a 20-year-old college student who had warned officials he would try to bring forbidden articles onto commercial flights to expose holes in security. Tall people earn considerably more money throughout their lives than their shorter co-workers, with each inch adding about $789 a year in pay, according to a new study. Two university professors analyzed results of four studies that included thousands of participants and examined details of their work and personal lives. The study was controlled for gender, weight, and age.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
No does not seem to be a concept that the ever-intrusive telemarketing industry is capable of comprehending. Even after 50 million Americans, including yours truly, signed up for the Do Not Call list that Congress approved, finally allowing us beleaguered folks a way to stop the incessant, inconvenient, and irritating sales calls from phone hucksters, the industry just kept coming. Indeed, the Direct Marketing Association, the front group for 5,000 of these diabolical dialing companies, has waged a relentless legal battle against us privacy seekers, claiming in court that we 50 million people have no right to say no to their automated invasions of our homes. To the contrary, they claim that corporations have a constitutional free speech right to barrage us as often as they want. Think about that. They sued us for trying to keep them from bothering us. But wait a minute. Guess whose names have cropped up among the 50 million on the Do Not Call list? Top executives of telemarketing corporations and of the Direct Marketing Association itself. In a delicious bit of journalistic digging, the Hartford Courant newspaper found that 11 of DMA's top honchos have their home numbers on the list, including 2 senior vice presidents, 3 other vice presidents, and 4 members of the association's board of directors. Apparently, those who make big bucks from the business of bothering people at home don't want to be bothered themselves. There are so many calls I don't want, complained a DMA senior vice president who recently retired. They are disturbing my routine, he says. Yes, sir, we know just how you feel. This is Jim Hightower saying, if there was a merit badge for hypocrisy, these people would be Eagle Scouts. I say they should have to publicize their phone numbers so we consumers can call them at home every night, right at dinner time.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey, and here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy. On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937, or you can reach us during the program via email, if you choose, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. A little while in the program, we're going to compare and contrast George Bush, some remarks he made with the president, or by the some remarks he made to the Philippine Congress on Saturday that were fairly astonishing in light of what he has been saying for the past 6 months. We want you to hear how Bush's scripted language regarding the pre-war threat posed by Saddam's regime in Iraq has changed in the course of just a few months. It's equally astonishing how many Americans have forgotten the many lies he told about the severity of the threat and al-Qaeda connection. We're going to share that with you a little bit later in the program, so stick around for that. As you know, George W. Bush is going to make a state visit to the U.K., to England. It'll be the first full state visit of an American president since Queen Elizabeth II came to the throne 52 years ago. I didn't know that. But the Brits, God bless them, are our English-speaking cousins across the ocean, have some plans. They have some plans for George Bush. And the plans have gotten out, and the plans are so much fun that the idea that the Queen and George W. were going to make a triumphant procession along what's referred to in London as the Mall during the president's state visit, those plans have been abandoned because of fears of anti-war protests and what our cousins in the U.K. have prepared for too stupid to be president. Gosh, I wish we would do things like this. The Brits have a great sense of humor, don't they? Now, the decision to not have this procession, another wonderful, glorious photo op for George Bush with Queen Elizabeth, the decision not to have this procession along the mall was taken by the British Prime Minister's office after consultations with Buckingham Palace, the White House, and Scotland Yard. And, of course, this is severely disappointed, too stupid to be president, and his senior aides. They were counting on great photos. You know, they're going to weave these photos in with landing on the aircraft carrier, right? Now, this procession apparently is, traditionally, it's the public high point of a state visit, no matter who comes, foreign head of state comes. This is just part of the tradition. But, Tony Blair's office, anxious about possible anti-war protests, has now decided to pull the plug on the whole thing. A spokesman for the... For the Queen said, we are liaising, I guess that means liaisoning, with the White House, and they have made no attempt to hide their disappointment. They saw it, obviously, as a great photo opportunity. Yes, indeed. Apparently, the senior palace official doesn't understand that in this country, photo opportunity is usually used in a very disdainful or wry sort of way. You know, it's not like a photo opportunity. It's a photo opportunity. So what have the Brits got planned for too stupid to be president next month when he goes to the UK? Well, among other things, they're going to have a big statue, a mock statue of George Bush, sort of like the Saddam statue, where tens and tens of people gathered around that statue after the U.S. forces made it into Baghdad and pulled it down. You saw those phony photographs, too. Well, they're going to pull down a mock statue of George W. Bush in the center of London. They're going to dance around it and raise their Kalashnikovs in the air or Uzis, toys all. I mean, they're just kidding. But this is great stuff. You know, absolute mockery of this jackass, which is much better than a frontal assault, which is what you get from me every night. You know, I just haven't learned to use deep sarcasm like the Brits or Al Franken or folks like that. Michael Moore. Molly Ivins, right? I just pick up the nearest club and start to, you know. Anyway, it says here, the redoing in Trafalgar Square of the famous humiliation of a Saddam Hussein statue in Baghdad 6 months ago will be among running protests, including marches and a mock trial of Bush planned around his November 19th through 21st state visit. One of the people in the various groups planning the event said, quote, people are excited about the prospect of opposing George Bush because they feel this visit adds insult to the injury already caused by the Iraq war. Wherever he is, from the moment he arrives to the moment he goes, there will be protests of one sort or another, the spokesperson said. I like that. A legislator from the UK, George Galloway, who is... In Tony Blair's party, ruling Labour Party, but his radical anti-war rhetoric has got him suspended from the Labour Party. How do you do that? Well, I guess that's part of that parliamentary stuff, right, Catherine? Wouldn't it be great if we could suspend people over here? Oh, never mind. George Galloway said, this will be a November to remember. I think it will be a bonfire of the vanities for Bush and Blair. Now, Galloway says he hopes that the images of protests in Britain would help turn the political tide against Bush in the run-up to next year's election. Galloway said, quote, whilst we bear them, the Americans, absolutely no ill will, indeed the opposite. We hate their president and think he is one of the world's most dangerous men. They should take the opportunity they have next November to do the world a favor as well as themselves and get rid of him. Well... Mr. Galloway, I agree with you, and as do millions upon millions of Americans. Since we live in the sort of system we live in, where it concerns our electing of officials, we do not have the leeway that folks in a parliamentary system have, Mr. Galloway. Otherwise, we would be rid of the man by now. That'll be interesting. I'm sure independent media will have lots of cameras to record these demonstrations. Mockery is a great tool, isn't it? Isn't mockery and satire, but especially mockery. Satire is one thing, but mockery. Mark in Dallas sent this to me last Friday regarding the show, last time we were on the air. He said, "Hi, Mike. I'm listening to the show this evening. I hear all of the repeated wishful thinking that Democrats desperately cling to." What Mark's referring to here is part of the conversation we had last Friday about, we got to defeat Bush because of this and because of that. Mark goes on to say, "Democrats want to believe so badly that things can change, they act like vultures arguing over table scraps." Ooh. There are two differences between the Republicans and Democrats. Fire in the belly and high-level organization. Yeah, they have it. The Republicans have it. We don't. The Democrats do not show the zeal and willingness to win, and the Democrats do not speak with one voice. When we see rabid attack dog Democrats sent out to eviscerate the president daily, then we will know that there is some fire. Not until. When we see Democratic talking points disseminated every day, then we will know that the party is organized and focused, and not until. Sadly, when we have only Robert Byrd and Ted Kennedy willing to speak out, this is not sufficient nor disciplined enough to make a dent. When all senators and representatives speak with one voice publicly, he's referring to Democrats, of course, we will finally begin to see an effective party with effective results. Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Mark, a bit. That's the problem with Democrats. That's the problem with this party, with the leadership of this party, with a couple of notable exceptions, with the presidential contenders of this party, with a couple of notable exceptions, with the leaders in Congress, with a couple of notable exceptions. Yeah. Yeah. We are Democrats. What else we got here? Afghanistan. This was at Democratic Underground Sunday. "Be Here Now," one of the writers of Democratic Underground writes, "I was in the middle of heavy dreaming this morning when my phone rang at 6 a.m. Still asleep, I answered, and for the first minute or more, I thought I had answered a prank caller. As I regained consciousness, I realized it was my nephew. He was calling me from Afghanistan, where he's stationed. Folks, things are much worse than we can imagine. He told me that troops are routinely abducted there by resistance fighters, taken to guerrilla camps where they are tortured, raped, and often killed. There's no mention in our media of this, and the troops know it. I don't want to disclose too many details of his assignment, but he is in a safe location due to his usefulness. However, he is routinely in contact with people who are serving Iraq, and it's much worse there than we know. He says that the suicide rate is much higher than what is being reported. They have no food, and the number one question on their lips is, quote, why aren't the people back home doing something to get us out of here?" No one is talking about the Afghanistan situation, and it is very bad. The troops in Iraq are in even worse shape. He said the kids are very depressed and can't understand why the American people are not doing something to help them. And then Be Here Now P.S.'s. "Forgot to mention, he said that recently they were all offered up to $15,000 tax-free to reenlist. They're all laughing at the offer and instead are investigating ways to get out. Should we be arranging an underground railroad for these kids?" I think so. Posted at Democratic Underground, a phone call in the wee hours of the morning from somebody who's in Afghanistan. The situation in Afghanistan is unbelievably screwed up. I can't think of a more erudite or proper term to use. The country, 95% of the country is controlled by warlords, which is the same as it was after the Soviets were driven out. We control Kabul. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
And a choice, but they didn't listen, they didn't respond, and now they're paying a price.
You don't have to tell me, I know every reason why you feel the way you feel.
and you cry the way you cry.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If he's got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If he's got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Show. NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. We're going to come to your phone calls right after, just a couple of minutes, right after this next break, which is coming up. So if you're on hold, stick around. It won't be that long, I promise. But I wanted to drop this in. The guy who is running for governor of Mississippi on the Republican side, Haley Barbour, former head of the RNC,
a real criminal. This guy is just, oh my God, just this guy would make Al Capone blush. Okay, he's a thug. He's a criminal. He intimidates foreign governments. He did as the head of the RNC. He's just got a long shady history. Well, his picture with some other people has shown up on a group, or shown up on the website of the Council of Conservative Citizens. Yeah, them again. The neo-Nazi. A Confederate flag-waving Hitlerite Klan folks who are scattered all over my South. I wish they would get the hell out of here, go live in, I don't know, where could they go? Maybe Costa Rica. No, Costa Rica wouldn't want them. I just wish they'd get out of here. Go to Argentina. You know, go someplace. But anyway, Haley Barbour shows up at a picnic because he's running for governor against Democratic governor of Mississippi. Haley Barbour wants to be governor of Mississippi, so he shows up at this thing, and his picture goes out on the website. Well, a lot of folks are saying, "Hey, Haley, not cool, man. Get your picture off there." Haley Barbour says, "Hey, screw you, forget it. I'm not. You know." Now. Almost, not quite, almost have to respect him because Haley Barbour is a right-wing thug. He's a neo-Nazi. He's a racist. He hates people of color. His underpants are the old stars and bars. He makes his underwear out of old Confederate flags. He's that sick. The field director for the CCC said that the CCC does not endorse candidates and that Mr. Barber's picture was posted because, quote, the webmaster was just seeking some publicity for our organization. We got tired of burning niggers down here, so we thought if we put, you know, Haley Barber's picture on our website instead of lynching one of them buck or one of those black men, we would get some good press. the CCC site where Haley Barbour's picture also has, well, you know, the usual Confederate flags, the flags of just a bunch of pissant white losers who can't take the fact that they had their ass handed to them by the Union soldiers ought to get over it. You know, you boys ought to get over it. But anyway, it also has links to articles such as In Defense of Racism. And it offers books on why Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. doesn't deserve a national holiday and why Germany should be cleared of what the CCC calls blood libel of the Holocaust. It didn't happen. Hell, that stuff never happened. There wasn't no 12 million Jews for the war. Hell. Awful. Haley Barbour said, my picture's in the public domain. It gets published in newspapers every day. If they want to run it on the CCC website, nothing I can do about it. Can't do a thing about it. But see, that's how white people here in the South, white politicians who are just hardcore racist pigs. I mean, these people 50 years ago would more than be happy to participate in the lynching of a black man, would be more than happy to participate in dragging a black man chained to a pickup truck behind their pickup truck. They are sick bastards. These people, all Republicans hate people of color. All Republicans hate Jesus Christ. All Republicans are just sick mass murderers or supporters of sick mass murderers. You know, I'm not saying your mama, who's a Republican, is a mass murderer, but she supports him, right? Anyway, the president of the Mississippi NAACP said Mr. Barbour should demand that the picture be removed. His name's Eugene Bryant, and he said, quote, if you cannot say what's right and do what's right and tell people when they're wrong, then we really don't need a governor like that, end quote. Well, Mr. Bryant, Eugene, if I may, because down here in the South, we drop the mister. Eugene, let me tell you something, bro. You know and I know, and most of us know. Black folks sure do know. Some white folks know. Why Haley Barbour's picture was on the CCC website. Right? Yes, Eugene, we know.
We thought you were already fine, and you don't have to take it from him anymore. You don't have to take it from him. You don't have to take it from him anymore. He's not your type. You can't.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists say DNA in a tissue of whales tells a story that more people need to hear. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. People who hunted whales in the North Atlantic Ocean years ago kept records of how many they saw. The records go back about 150 years, and they're still important today. The International Whaling Commission uses them as a measure of how many whales inhabited the North Atlantic before whaling began, and it uses that estimate to regulate hunting now. But recent studies suggest that those estimates are way off and that whale numbers might be dangerously low. Steve Palumbi is a biologist at Stanford University, and he studies the genes of fin whales, minke whales, and humpbacks. Palumbi says there is a tremendous amount of variability in their genetic makeup. In fact, he says there's so much variability that it suggests their populations were much higher than what was recorded by whalers a century or more ago. He says the numbers written down in old logbooks are largely based on unknown papers and observations.
What that suggests to us is that there's been too much complacency in just accepting those historic numbers based on whale logbooks. The way those numbers have been generated and the way they've been used to set whale conservation targets is not very transparent. It's very difficult to figure out exactly how that was done.
Palumbi says the International Whaling Commission considers whale populations to be stable as long as they're 50% of what they were before hunting began. But he says 50% of what's in the old whaling records is much smaller than 50% of the whales that were really in the oceans. The genetic research suggests that some whale populations today are at less than 10% of their natural numbers and that they might need serious protection to start recovering. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Just a quick email here, and then we're going to do your calls. This is from Ward. Regarding the email that I read at the beginning of the program about Democrats, the one that Mark in Dallas wrote, about Democrats better get some spine, better start kicking ass and taking names. Ward writes, Mike, love the show. Just a quick response to the email you read on the air. Do we want a Democratic Party that looks and acts like the rabid right? I get the writer's point about the party needing better organization and fire in the belly, and in some sense, but I worry that in our zeal to emulate what seems to have worked electorally for the far right, we'll lose what's important in being different from them. As liberals, we accept that many points of view are good for the country, that a plurality of views is good for democracy. Just a thought, Ward. Yeah, I see. I can agree with both of you. In theory, Ward, you're absolutely right. I used to pride myself on being a member of a political discipline, liberalism, that stood for good and decency, and that all I had to do was do my part to make sure that the Liberal Democratic Party continued to do good and decent acts, and that that would attract young people just getting into the political scene. And eventually it would work over the older people who, you know, might have been hardcore conservative all their lives and began to realize that they'd led a life of just bitterness and I don't know, whatever the hell Republicans do. But, you know, I started to find out that's not the case, because the political process or the political discourse, certainly in this country, has been poisoned. I don't think it's possible any longer. I really don't. To be the party of rational, good, nice people who say, look, you know, we're liberals. We've done anything that has moved this country forward, anything that for the most part has moved the world forward, has been done by liberals in the United States to the extent that we have participated. Liberals in other countries have certainly move their societies and cultures forward. I don't mean to come across here like some jingoistic American who says, well, liberal Americans. But you understand, to the extent that we have participated, it has always been the liberal democratic point of view that has offered the best solution to people around the world who said, hey, America, what you got for us today? The Republican conservative point of view has guaranteed dictators, torture camps, death, destruction, pollution, negativity, filth, horror, terror, wars, and killing. Jesus, that is not difficult to understand. Is it, truth seekers? No, it is not. Just look at the past 75 years. Hell, look at the past 50 years. Okay, end the story there. Would that it were true that we liberals could just kind of sit back and go, look, you know, we're decent, we're kind, we're good, we're progressive. Come join us. The pig man, Rush Limbaugh, the piglet, Sean Hannity, the national media, Newt Gingrich, politicians, the attack on Clinton, all of this stuff has totally poisoned the well, Ward. There's no longer any fresh water in there to drink. So, as sad as it is, while I respect both Mark's point of view and your point of view, I'm afraid that I live in a time where Mark's point of view is going to prevail, as far as I'm concerned. And that's sad. And I admit it, Ward. I you know, it disgusts me, in a sense, that I'm saying that. But Mark is right. And if we lose part of our humanity and our decency in the process, well, that'll be terribly sad, won't it? I am hoping, the hope that I have, is that we liberals retain our center, and out on the fringes of each one of us, we can be just as vile and nasty and attacking as necessary. Is that possible? I don't know. Okay. Just wanted to comment on that. Thanks to both Mark and Ward for those two points of view. Daniel is calling from San Diego, new to the program, I believe. Daniel, this is your first time calling, right?
Yeah, Mike, from Democratic Underground.
Oh, well, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks. I just want to comment about the Afghanistan thing.
Yeah.
My friend and I looked into it, and they're actually raising, I guess you could consider it selling your soul to Satan, to 20,000 now to reenlist.
To reenlist?
Yeah, they're getting desperate because I guess the poll is that 50% are planning on not reenlisting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just this horrible thing, and it makes the rest of us kind of cringe because that means they're going to have to reinstall the draft.
Well, you know what happens when you have a mercenary force? You have something like the French Foreign Legion, or we already have something similar to it now with all these private contractors who provide military personnel or fighters or soldiers, whatever you want to call them. There's no oversight. Atrocities occur, although, you know, the United States military has had several instances in its not-so-recent past where atrocities were committed. But when you have a mercenary force, all kinds of hell can surface. The army becomes demonic. I believe that it's time to reinstate the draft. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, Daniel. When I was of draft age, it was there. We had the lottery. We had everything. And a lot of middle class and upper middle class whites escaped. The draft should be there with no exceptions so that Americans understand that in the 21st century, we're still acting as though we are living in the 17th or 18th century. We are still fighting wars of imperialism. We're still expecting our young men and now young women to go die for some little pissant despot like George W. Bush. If the debate and discussion gets out there, you see, about universal military service, about the draft, if people will start talking about it, even right-wingers, they don't want to sacrifice their sons or their daughters to a killing machine. They may talk about they're conservative. They may talk about they support Bush. But that's only as long as the Mexicans and the Negroes and the Ecuadorians and the you know, the people that come to this country from Latin America are looking for a quick way to citizenship. And so they join the military. White conservative moms and dads love the military until it's time for their son to sign up and go die. So trust me on this one. Opening up the discussion about bringing back the draft will be one of the most effective ways to get George Bush out of office.
Yeah, well, I think that'll be happening pretty soon once all these kids start coming home and quit.
Well, go ahead. So, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I think you're doing a great job, and you're giving the rest of us out here some hope living in these oppressive regime times.
It is kind of weird, isn't it, pal?
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Daniel. Hope to hear from you again. That's kind of my feeling about the draft. Bring it back, or at least begin the process of bringing it back. I assume that would be a discussion on the House Armed Services Committee or the House Government Affairs Committee, and then you know, they've got a bill ready to go, pass it, send it over to the Senate, and then watch the American public get active, sending emails and letters and phone calls to all the conservatives. See, liberals are willing in times of national emergency to defend the country. Conservatives never are. Never, never, never. They talk patriotism, but they use patriotism the same way most of us use bathroom tissue. It's foul and disgusting what right-wingers, what Republicans do. With patriotism, they just completely befoul it, completely defile it. So if we have an effort, a bipartisan effort, to reinstate the draft, although you'll notice it's a couple of Democrats who are talking about it, Rangel and what's his name from South Carolina? Here we go again. Another one of those moments. But it's two Democrats who are doing it. You don't see Republicans talking about reinstating the draft, because show me a Republican other than McCain or Chuck Hagel. Show me a Republican, especially in the House, who has served in the military or who would even consider serving in the military or who would allow their children to serve in the military. And I will show you a one-eyed, flying purple people eater. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So it will be great fun, wouldn't it, to see discussions, national discussions, begin about reinstating the draft. After all, you know, Rumsfeld and Cheney and Wolfowitz and Pearl and Bush, they need lots of people willing to die for oil and imperialism. And if we can't provide the people willing to kill and die, how in the hell are we going to build our empire? Empires are not built with anything other than a very effective war machine, right? Okay, I don't know. Is that right or not? Dan is calling from Fort Worth, Texas. Dan, welcome to the program. You're a new caller, too?
Oh, yeah, Mike.
Well, welcome aboard, sir.
I know my time's limited, so I'll try to do this quick. By the way, have you mentioned how much you hate these people?
Well, not yet.
Okay, very quickly, Mike. Of course, I heard McCain on C-SPAN radio yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
inching towards talking about the draft. And Kay Bailey Hutchison, our worthless senator from Texas here, is on the Senate Armed Services Committee,
mm-hmm.
and she's got a little report she's not making too public yet that's talking about reinstituting the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I still favor a law that would require nothing less than the 25% of the richest people of America, everyone involved with the administration, and all 554 congressmen's family members who are 18 to 25 to be the first to go and to be on the front lines.
I would think. Isn't that what the Romans used to do? Didn't the generals in the Roman army insist that on the front lines would be the ruling elites whose sons fathers would join the military, and if they were from the ruling elite, this is before the Republic of Rome fell and became a dictatorship. But during the conquest, it was required that that the highborn lead the troops into battle.
And if we had that rule today, if it was a law, we would never have any of these wars, because they're never. You're right. All Bush and the people in the administration, mm-hmm. and their family, 554 congressmen, only one of them has a relative subject to going to Iraq or in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
One out of 600-plus people being responsible for these wars. And then very briefly what I wanted to say, the email you read about the man that woke up at 6 in the morning with a phone call from mm-hmm. his nephew in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I are doing everything we can to help him. We're involved with Bring Them Home Now.
Oh, yeah.
We're involved with Military Families Speak Out. We attend their anti-war rallies.
Mm-hmm.
We contribute financially to their cause.
That's great, Dan.
There are those out there who are doing what we can to help these kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I would definitely support any concept of an underground railroad to get them out of there. And I was also curious if perhaps, are you familiar with Bring Them Home and MFSA?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've had.
If you could, I think it would be a great idea to.
We had Stan Goff on this program.
Okay, good. So it would probably help if with protecting that man's identity, if you could somehow post that on their websites and yours as well.
Yeah, yeah. I let me tell you that I really respect you for working in this anti-war movement, Dan, especially in these times. If this country were attacked, I think you and I would probably take up a weapon and try to defend this country.
I'd be the first to do it.
There you go. But
under the current circumstances, they reinstitute the draft.
Yeah.
My oldest will be 18 in 3.5 years,
mm-hmm.
and I will find somewhere outside the United States for her to go.
I hear that.
I will not allow my child to lose her life for George Bush and his buddies' oil companies.
I hear that loud and clear.
Won't do it.
Dan, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. I hope you're going to call again.
Oh, I will. I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Got my Sirius birthday radio for my birthday. And
oh, bless your heart.
Love the show.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, Dan, take care. Got a Sirius radio receiver, right? That's what he meant. Isn't that what he meant, Kat? That's right. It's so nice to sit in your house and listen to this program on a radio. Huh? God, consider that concept. Eh? Speaking of Frank is calling from Ontario. He's our Ontario bureau chief. I always want to say you're calling from Windsor, but I know you're not.
Yeah, I'm calling from Kitchener.
Kitchener, that's right.
Yeah, near Waterloo, the university's up there and all that.
Yes, sir.
All that countryside. But where you say I say A.
A, there you go.
A, there you go. Yeah, well, bless that last caller, and bless you for the good work that you do, I'm telling you, on your show. I haven't really given you praise for that yet, I don't think.
Not necessary,
that,
Frank,
but,
not necessary. Now,
yeah,
you're calling
you're right on.
You're talking about...
Show kicks.
You're talking
kicks
about...
Ass, I'll tell you that.
Well, great. You wanted to talk about Bush and Chrétien?
Yeah, they crossed paths at the APEC summit,
mm-hmm.
and they were starting to talk about security, and, you know, Prime Minister Craig Chien says that security is the key to promoting trade and investment when mm-hmm. he's talking about having stability, you know.
Right.
Like being able to have things predictable.
Right.
And then Colin Powell here pipes up and he says, quote, every nation, every economy represented here, every business, every leader, every one of us is a potential target of terrorist activity.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, what kind of a fear-mongering statement is that?
Yeah.
Mike, is it just me, Mike?
No. Of course not.
Every opportunity is the Bush administration and the Republicans and these people I hate around them are always constantly trying.
Yeah, it's all about fear, Frank. That's what these people talk about. Frank, let me put you on hold. I'll come back in a second. Got a break here.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
a... Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nighty?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My
fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
Seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
It's about five before the hour. Coming up after the break, we're going to trip back a little bit through time, recent time here, and compare and contrast to illustrate how Bush's scripted language regarding the pre-war threat posed by Saddam has changed in the course of just a few months. It's really astonishing. What happened was Kathy watched David Corn on Washington Journal this morning and got very upset and inspired. I was downstairs. I heard her upstairs in the bedroom where we have the television throwing things across the room. Couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. Now I know. All right, back to Frank, who's called in from Kitchener, Ontario. Frank, thanks for holding on.
Yeah, we were talking about, is it just me or is the Bush crime family always milking September 11th as an excuse or as a blank check to do anything to anyone at any time?
It's not you, Frank. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. And that's part and parcel of Colin Powell's quote where he says every nation, every leader, every
sure.
one of us is a potential target. Well, possibly we in Canada are targets, but when you know, somebody goes around and pisses people off, they become a great, big, huge red bullseye target. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's part and parcel to what the two callers ago they were talking about the colonialism. This is another way of imperialism. This is another way to promote it is through this continuous fear-mongering.
Well, the Bush administration has absolutely nothing to offer the American public. The proof of that, take a look at what it's done, this crime family, in 3 years since it's been in power. The only way it can motivate the American public is through visceral, gut-level, oh my God, they're going to kill my son and rape my daughter, fear. And that's precisely what they're doing.
And this is what I'm afraid of between now and this time next year before mm-hmm. the election there.
Well, I'm afraid of it too, Frank, to the extent that I fear it so much that I am convinced, as a lot of Americans are, thinking Americans, that these thugs are going to pull another 911. Something is going to come up that will make all of us run like rabbits and hide under rocks and just pray that sweet baby Jesus will make sure that George gets in office again. It's pretty sick down here. Frank, there's the music. Got a boogie. Thank you for checking in, pal. I appreciate it every time you call. All right, sir. Take care. All right, quick break. We'll be back. Do stick around. I want you to hear these remarks by Bush yesterday and a couple of months ago. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans. This is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Under pressure from potential donors, the Bush administration will allow a new agency to determine how to spend billions of dollars in reconstruction assistance for Iraq. The new agency will be run by the World Bank and the United Nations and will work independently of the American occupation. They are to announce the change at a donor conference in Madrid later this week. The change effectively establishes some of the international control over Iraq that the United States opposed in the drafting of the United Nations Security Council resolution that passed on Thursday. Thursday's resolution referred to two established agencies to ensure that aid would be audited. But diplomats say other countries were unwilling to make donations, calling the United States an occupying power controlling Iraq's reconstruction and self-rule. 8 Marine reservists accused in the mistreatment of prisoners of war in Iraq were being held at Camp Pendleton on charges ranging from negligent homicide to dereliction of duty, military officials said. A lawyer representing one of the men said the Army did not have the necessary personnel to run the detention camp, and the reservists were untrained for the job. The reservists belonged to the 2nd Battalion, 25th Marine Regiment. Their hometowns were not immediately released, and it is not known if all had retained lawyers. A new poll suggests that unease with the current healthcare system has Americans thinking about a new approach that would mean care for all Americans and changes in laws governing prescription drugs. A 70% majority said it should be legal for Americans to buy prescription drugs outside the United States, according to the ABC News Washington Post poll. Such purchases can save money, but they violate the law. The poll found that more than half of Americans, 54%, are dissatisfied with the quality of health care in the United States.
More news after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Legal proceedings were expected Monday against a college student who is accused of hiding box cutters and other banned items aboard two Southwest Airlines planes. Prosecutors still were trying to determine what charges they might bring against Nathaniel Heatwell, a 20-year-old college student who had warned officials he would try to bring forbidden articles onto commercial flights to expose holes in security. A judge has dismissed a defamation lawsuit filed by a former schoolmate of rapper Eminem, and she included a rap of her own to explain the ruling. In a footnote to the opinion, Judge Deborah Cervetto added a 10-stanza rhyme. The verse stated in part, "It is therefore this court's ultimate position that Eminem is entitled to summary disposition."
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
No does not seem to be a concept that the ever-intrusive telemarketing industry is capable of comprehending. Even after 50 million Americans, including yours truly, signed up for the Do Not Call list that Congress approved, finally allowing us beleaguered folks a way to stop the incessant, inconvenient, and irritating sales calls from phone hucksters, the industry just kept coming. Indeed, the Direct Marketing Association, the front group for 5,000 of these diabolical dialing companies, has waged a relentless legal battle against us privacy seekers, claiming in court that we 50 million people have no right to say no to their automated invasions of our homes. To the contrary, they claim that corporations have a constitutional free speech right to barrage us as often as they want. Think about that. They sued us for trying to keep them from bothering us. But wait a minute. Guess whose names have cropped up among the 50 million on the Do Not Call list? Top executives of telemarketing corporations and of the Direct Marketing Association itself. In a delicious bit of journalistic digging, the Hartford Courant newspaper found that 11 of DMA's top honchos have their home numbers on the list, including two senior vice presidents, three other vice presidents, and four members of the association's board of directors. Apparently, those who make big bucks from the business of bothering people at home don't want to be bothered themselves. There are so many calls I don't want, complained a DMA senior vice president who recently retired. They are disturbing my routine, he says. Yes, sir, we know just how you feel. This is Jim Hightower saying, if there was a merit badge for hypocrisy, these people would be Eagle Scouts. I say they should have to publicize their phone numbers so we consumers can call them at home every night, right at dinner time.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do? Being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals.
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer. Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Got an email from Richard in Phoenix, and he listens over the internet. But what did he say? I've wired my computer to my living room stereo, and from there to other rooms, so I can walk through the house and hear you in living stereo. Great. He writes some other stuff. He says, I enjoy your rants, but you should return to your sense of humor more often. I wish I could. I agree, Richard. I should be able to do that. But I don't know. It's getting harder and harder on this program. I usually think, well, what can we do tonight? And, really mock and get into satire. And I get in here and start looking at the topics I'm going to be doing, and just it disappears. Also, Jack in Tampa says... Mike, Sea Crane Company, Fortuna, California, has a neat digital FM transmitter which you plug into your computer. I guess that's what Richard's talking about. And you're free to listen to streaming audio from your computer in any room in the house, not just where your computer is. The price is just under $100. I listen to your show all through the house, wherever I have an FM radio. You might want to tell your listeners about this device. Check it out on their website. C. Crane Company. C, letter C, Crane Company. Well, thanks, Jack, and Richard. It never fails to, I hate to use a word that Rush Limbaugh, the pig man, has totally destroyed, but it is humbling, isn't it, Kathy, when you read these emails, right, and people that say, well, I bought this device, and now I can listen, you know, geez, the day will come when we'll be on actual radio stations like we used to be on, you know, WLS in Chicago, WSB in Atlanta. It'll come back. All right, we're going to get to the sound I want to play for you in a moment. But first, Alicia is calling from Tampa. Hey, Alicia.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Well, I'm doing okay. This is my second call.
It is indeed.
Oh, yeah, and no virgin ear. Anyhow, I wanted to ask you, hey, now you know Mike.
Yeah.
That if the war was going really well,
yeah,
we would be seeing pictures on the TV.
We would indeed.
We don't see anything.
Nope.
We don't know anything that's going on. So, you know, don't show me the money. Show me the pics.
Yeah,
of
really.
The happy, liberated Iraqis.
Well, you can see the happy liberated Iraqis if you go to the right sources, but the happy liberated Iraqis are aiming a rocket-propelled grenades at our troops, and they are setting landmines in the road where our troops pass over, and they are blowing up embassies of other countries who are supporting Imperial America. So the happy Iraqis are there. It's just they're happy that they're fighting to get their country back. I guess it's all a matter of perspective, right, Alicia?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, where's the hi, Mom? How are you doing?
Right. Yeah,
no,
well,
we don't see that, do we?
No, we'll get those at Christmas. You watch. I'm sure Karl Rove
predicted that.
I'm sure Karl Rove is working on the networks to do a lot of those video Christmas cards. Hi, Mom. Hi, Alice. Hi, John. I'm over here in Iraq defending freedom and Mom and apple pie and the flag. And about another 10 minutes, I'm going to frag my commander.
Mike, what can I tell you? It's really disgusting. And
it is.
I don't know. There's not much more I can say except that I love your show.
Thanks, Alicia. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate you calling. Joanna is calling from Miami. Hey, Joanna.
Hey. Yeah, this is my second call.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got a lot of sophomores tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm the one who called with the Arnold thing.
Yes.
Yeah, you remember me.
I do remember.
Anyway, about the president's in Iraq, the Big Lies Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to give us his own spin on the news,
right,
or something.
Sure.
Yep. And I don't know. It's just Orwellian. Of course, everything he's been doing is Orwellian, so that doesn't surprise me one bit.
And you know the irony, Joanna, if you had a chance and you walked up and said, Mr. President, you sound Orwellian, he wouldn't know what the hell you're talking about.
He wouldn't know what the hell I'm talking about.
No, exactly. He wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah, it's these other guys that work with him that know what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, that would know what I'm talking about. But, you know, when you actually get to Bush, it's like, huh? You know?
It's just, it's incredible that someone that stupid wound up as president of the United States. Joanna, thanks for checking in.
Okay.
All right, you have a nice evening. Okay. Now, here's what happened. And I want to play some of this sound for you. Here's what happened. This morning, I was downstairs opening up the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and New York Times. Normally, Kathy and I don't get up until about 10:30 or 11 because we don't go to sleep till about 3 in the morning. But I had another dentist appointment this morning at 9 o'clock, so we were up early. And all of a sudden, upstairs, I hear thumping and things tinkling. And, you know, it's like, what the hell? I went to the bottom of the stairs. Kathy, what, you okay? Well, my wife can cuss. She can cuss almost as good as I can. And she just let loose a stream of profanity. So I went upstairs and said, what the hell is going on? And C-SPAN was on. She was watching Washington Journal. David Corn was being interviewed about his new book. And people were calling in, as they do on that program. They've got the Democrat line and the Republican line, right? And she said, by this point, she had flipped the TV over to one of the music channels. But she said it was astonishing. People were calling in on the Republican line telling David Corn that George Bush never said anything about, what was it, Kathy? Weapons of mass destruction. Never Al-Qaeda. Open your mic's open.
No, the people were just outraged because they were claiming that David Corn was making all this up, that Bush mm-hmm. never linked Al-Qaeda with Saddam Hussein or Iraq, and Bush never claimed that that Iraq was an imminent threat. And they got all hung up on the word imminent as if it weren't implied. I mean, it was really astonishing. And then there was just the group of people who were too inarticulate to express their views.
Well, I have to give you credit for you do amazing things with constructing brand new cuss words that I've never heard of. It was pretty cool. All right, so Kathy got inspired, came in here this afternoon, and decided to go back through the audio files in here and juxtaposition just a few. This is not a big production, but I want you to hear this. First of all, a remark by Too Stupid to Be President to the Philippine Congress the day before yesterday, Saturday. Now, the sound quality on this one isn't too good, but the sound on the other ones will be fine, so bear with us here. Now, what I want you to notice in this first one is how toned down Bush's weapons of mass destruction lies, how his talk is now compared to just a few months ago, pre-attack. Now the only weapons that he cites are programs and labs suitable for research. Jesus, suitable for research. My bathroom is suitable for research. That's why our troops are dying over there? To stop the hideous threat posed by possibilities of labs suitable research? Listen to what he said to the Philippine Congress.
We've discovered Saddam's clandestine network of laboratories suitable for biological and chemical weapons research, his design work on prohibited long-range missiles, his elaborate campaign to hide his illegal weapons programs. We've shut down terror camps, denied terrorists a sanctuary. By our actions, our coalition removed a grave and gathering danger.
Okay, how many lies you find in there? How many obfuscations? How many 180-degree switchovers have you found? We have discovered Saddam's clandestine laboratories suitable for biological chemical weapons research. Suitable. We didn't find any research. We didn't find any evidence. But there was running water and sinks. And electricity, by Christ, that's suitable. You see? His design work on prohibited long-range missiles, design work? What is that? Some drawings? What did he have, a little chalkboard in the basement of one of his palaces where he drew little bitty rockets going up and attacking little bitty imaginary incoming rockets? Design work? And his elaborate campaign to hide his illegal weapons campaign? What did he say at the end there? By our actions, our coalition removed a grave and gathering danger? You lying bastard, you said they could nuke us anytime they were. A gathering danger? What did he say? We shut down terror camps, denied terrorists a sanctuary. But hey, jackass, you said Al-Qaeda operated inside Iraq. Now, I want you to hear this. We got time? We got time for this this first one here?
I'd wait.
Well, wait? All right, damn. Got another break coming here. What I'm going to play for you coming back, at the 2003 Republican National Committee presidential gala in D.C. just a week ago, out on his PR tour. Now, we played some sound for that from that last week, but he's on his PR tour to tout his war in Iraq. And what I'm going to play for you, again, even on the 8th of October, he tried to link Iraq to 9-1-1. And of course, he gives no rationale for the preemptive strike against Iraq. And one of the reasons, of course, he's being heavily criticized now that the truth is out. Now that the truth is out, that these, bad word coming, back away from your radio, these sons of bitches took us into a war based on utter and absolute lies. Is that an impeachable offense? Well, apparently not. All right, we'll play this for you when we come back. Stay with us.
Now, we have no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th. Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
No does not seem to be a concept that the ever-intrusive telemarketing industry is capable of comprehending. Even after 50 million Americans, including yours truly, signed up for the Do Not Call list that Congress approved, finally allowing us beleaguered folks a way to stop the incessant, inconvenient, and irritating sales calls from phone hucksters, the industry just kept coming. Indeed, the Direct Marketing Association, the front group for 5,000 of these diabolical dialing companies, has waged a relentless legal battle against us privacy seekers, claiming in court that we 50 million people have no right to say no to their automated invasions of our homes. To the contrary, they claim that corporations have a constitutional free speech right to barrage us as often as they want. Think about that. They sued us for trying to keep them from bothering us. But wait a minute. Guess whose names have cropped up among the 50 million on the Do Not Call list? Top executives of telemarketing corporations and of the Direct Marketing Association itself. In a delicious bit of journalistic digging, the Hartford Courant newspaper found that 11 of DMA's top honchos have their home numbers on the list, including 2 senior vice presidents, 3 other vice presidents, and 4 members of the association's board of directors. Apparently, those who make big bucks from the business of bothering people at home don't want to be bothered themselves. There are so many calls I don't want, complained a DMA senior vice president who recently retired. They are disturbing my routine, he says. Yes, sir, we know just how you feel. This is Jim Hightower saying, if there was a merit badge for hypocrisy, these people would be Eagle Scouts. I say they should have to publicize their phone numbers so we consumers can call them at home every night, right at dinner time.
In truth, are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Okay, Saturday, too stupid to be president is in the Philippines talking to the Congress there. What did he spend, 6 hours there? Talking about Saddam's laboratories suitable for biological and chemical weapons research, his design work on long-range missiles, his elaborate campaign to hide weapons programs. On and on and on. The language that this thug is using has been ordered changed by Karl Rove. Now, let's go back October 8th. This is when he's addressing the brain dead, terminally brain dead, at the Republican National Committee presidential gala in Washington, D.C. Listen to this.
One of the important lessons of September the 11th, 2001, is that our country must deal with gathering threats before they materialize, before they come back to haunt us.
3 words at a time, stupid.
And that's what we did in Iraq. We saw a gathering threat. A man who had possessed and used weapons of mass destruction on his own people.
Past tense, huh?
A man who sponsored terror.
Past tense again.
A man who was a danger in the region in which he lived. The world spoke. He chose defiance. And Saddam Hussein is no more.
You stupid freak, the world spoke and told you not to launch an attack. Okay, here he is again. Same Republican National Committee gala on the evidence that he claims David Kay found in Iraq. Note the cautious language here.
Our investigators have found evidence of clandestine network of biological laboratories.
Evidence.
The advanced design work on prohibited long-range missiles.
Design work.
Elaborate campaign to hide these illegal programs.
Campaign. No actual weapons. Nothing. No mushroom clouds. No little drone airplanes that would drop vials of poisonous death all over American cities. All gone. Well, let's go back to March 26. Bush, MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa. Let's see how much Bush's weapons of mass destruction talk has changed. Here he speaks to military personnel in March, 5 days after the attack began.
We are also taking every action we can to prevent the Iraqi regime from using its hidden weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, yeah?
We're attacking the command structure that could order the use of those weapons.
They're invisible, George.
Coalition troops have taken control of hundreds of square miles of territory to prevent the launch of missiles and chemical or biological weapons.
Missiles, chemical, and biological weapons. Oh, my God. But you said all you've discovered are Saddam's clandestine laboratories suitable for research. Oh, never mind. March 6, National Press Conference. Working back in time a bit more to this conference, note how the language he used to weave his lies was stronger in early March.
He possesses weapons of terror.
Uh-huh.
He provides funding and training and safe haven to terrorists.
Really?
Terrorists who would willingly use weapons of mass destruction.
Invisible
against
ones.
America and other peace-loving countries.
You're going to burn in hell, George.
Saddam Hussein and his weapons are a direct threat to this country.
Really?
To our people.
Uh-huh.
I will not leave the American people at the mercy of the Iraqi dictator and his weapons.
Oh, George, oh, thank you. You're so brave. Oh, my God, I just wet myself over the bravery in your statement. Oh, Daddy, Pappy, Bush, oh, you're not going to leave us at the mercy of the Iraqi dictator and his weapons. What weapons? Oh, George, all right, we've got some more. Let me do a quick break here, and I've got to run across the hall to the bathroom and clean myself up. I just, George, you just made me pee my pants with gratitude. Oh.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists say DNA in a tissue of whales tells a story that more people need to hear. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. People who hunted whales in the North Atlantic Ocean years ago kept records of how many they saw. The records go back about 150 years, and they're still important today. The International Whaling Commission uses them as a measure of how many whales inhabited the North Atlantic before whaling began, and it uses that estimate to regulate hunting now. But recent studies suggest that those estimates are way off and that whale numbers might be dangerously low. Steve Palumbi is a biologist at Stanford University, and he studies the genes of fin whales, minke whales, and humpbacks. Palumbi says there is a tremendous amount of variability in their genetic makeup. In fact, he says there's so much variability that it suggests their populations were much higher than what was recorded by whalers a century or more ago. He says the numbers written down in old logbooks are largely based on unknown papers and observations.
What that suggests to us is that there's been too much complacency in just accepting those historic numbers based on whale logbooks. The way those numbers have been generated and the way they've been used to set whale conservation targets is not very transparent. It's very difficult to figure out exactly how that was done.
Palumbi says the International Whaling Commission considers whale populations to be stable as long as they're 50% of what they were before hunting began. But he says 50% of what's in the old whaling records is much smaller than 50% of the whales that were really in the oceans. The genetic research suggests that some whale populations today are at less than 10% of their natural numbers and that they might need serious protection to start recovering. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Thank you.
entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. What we are trying to show here is the shift in language. These killers who now control this country and our military got us into a vicious shooting war that the best estimates are that we so far have killed probably 15 to 20,000 Iraqi and Afghan civilians. We have also lost, again, who knows, 300 to 400 U.S. members of the U.S. military. We have, hard to tell, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 wounded. And our people are coming back with the kinds of wounds that guerrilla warfare always produce. Blown off limbs, faces that are forever disfigured, horrible abdominal wounds that guarantee illness and in so many instances eventual death. That's what our people are coming home with. But what we're trying to show here is the change in language from nuclear bombs and biological weapons on top of missiles and Al-Qaeda launching pads and all of this lying filth that these people put out. And how now Bush, all of a sudden, laboratories suitable for research and design work on missiles and a campaign to hide. Okay, March 6th, same news conference. Listen to the lie about how Al-Qaeda... The lie about Al-Qaeda he was repeating just a few months ago. Listen to this now. He's way back off his false claim now. But listen to what it was a couple of months ago.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I believe he's a threat to the neighborhood in which he lives.
Save us, George.
And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Do you?
He has weapons of mass destruction, and he has used weapons of mass destruction.
Really?
He has trained and financed Al-Qaeda-type organizations before, and other terrorist organizations.
Oh, really? Has he, George? Okay. All right. Let's go back to February. Bush spoke very strongly about weapons of mass destruction and Saddam's nuclear ambitions, lies he wouldn't dare repeat today. But back in February, they just tripped off his tongue like so many little dulcet tones whispered into lump in the bed's ear.
We face terrorism. We face the idea of people having nuclear arms. We face people who've got weapons of mass destruction.
Do we?
We face these deadly terrorist networks teaming up with countries with weapons of mass destruction who could attack, anytime.
Anytime.
Saddam Hussein has got weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein has made, has defied the United Nations. Saddam Hussein is... providing links to terrorists, Saddam Hussein is a threat to America, and we will deal with him.
Oh, you sound real interested in that, George. Let me see. What does it say here? Oh, yeah, he's threats to America. Yeah, he's got weapons. Okay. Jacksonville, Florida, February 13th. Bush claimed Saddam's nuclear threat and links to Al-Qaeda were facts.
America has laid out the facts for the world to see.
Facts.
He has secretly attempted to obtain materials needed to produce nuclear weapons.
Yeah, from Niger.
Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda.
But George, you lying rat bastard, your own people have said that he had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. You see, this is how it was a few months ago. Here's a statement by Bush with Colin Powell after Powell's UN presentation February 6th. Listen to this.
The Iraqi regime has actively and secretly attempted to obtain equipment needed to produce chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons.
From your father.
Iraq could produce within just months hundreds of pounds of biological poisons.
Really?
The Iraqi regime has acquired and tested the means to deliver weapons of mass destruction.
They did?
The regime is actively pursuing components for prohibited ballistic missiles.
Ballistic missiles? Ooh, Oh, those are the big ones, right, George? Those are the ones that can leap tall buildings in a single bound. Those are the ones that can travel across the ocean and drop a 30 or 40 megaton nuclear load on D.C., right? Here he is again after Colin Powell's lying presentation to the U.N. back in February of this year.
Iraq has also provided al-Qaeda with chemical and biological weapons training.
Did he?
September the 11th, 2001. The American people saw what terrorists could do by turning four airplanes into weapons.
Yeah, Iraq did that.
We will not wait to see what terrorists or terrorist states could do with chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear weapons.
Oh, thank you, George. He goes on to say, the safety of the American people depends on ending this direct and growing threat. Direct and growing threat. Now, let's go back to Saturday, and let me play for this this for you again. Now, you just heard his talk, just a few excerpts that Kathy pulled out over the past 5 or 6 months. Listen to him 2 days ago.
We've discovered Saddam's clandestine network of laboratories suitable for biological and chemical weapons research, his design work on prohibited long-range missiles, his elaborate campaign to hide his illegal weapons programs. We've shut down terror camps, denied terrorists a sanctuary.
Really?
By our actions, our coalition removed a grave and gathering danger.
Denied terrorists a sanctuary. Well, your own people, George. Now, I realize this is 2 days ago. And where was it? Oh, that's right. Addressing the Philippine Congress. I realize this only 2 days ago, and you're stupider than mud. But we've shut down terror camps and denied terrorists a sanctuary? Are you out of your freaking mind? Are you totally crazy? By your actions, you jackass, you've turned Iraq into a terrorist sanctuary. You've changed it from a country run by a psychotic despot just like you into a sanctuary for terrorist organizations. And as far as the elaborate training and financing of terrorists on 911. No, George, that came from your business partners, the Saudis. Will somebody please whisper in this moron's ear that 15 of the 19 people who came to this country and committed mass murder were Saudis? Not one Iraqi, not one Afghan. Saudis. And that's why 30 pages of the interim report from the 911 commission were redacted, were blacked out, so the American public would not have it shoved in their faces that the people who committed terror in this country were Bush's business partners. Is this impeachable? Nah, of course not. Of course not. But oral sex with your girlfriend in the Oval Office, oh, Christ, we'll attempt to bring down a republic over that. Well, the flying monkey right will. But lies and distortions to take us into a murderous enterprise, which is war, based on lies, based on nothing but lies, is that an impeachable offense? Well, no. God, Mike, chill. So in February, Iraq's weapons of mass destruction ties to al-Qaeda and chemical, biological weapons were a fact. A fact. You heard him say it. Today, it's labs suitable for research and design plans. So we go from images of mushroom clouds to design plans. The language has changed, hasn't it? And judging by David Korn's interview on C-SPAN today, I didn't see it. Kathy saw it. But apparently so many Americans have forgotten what he said just weeks ago or don't care. Every single Republican that calls Washington Journal gets his or her news from Fox. What did we share with you last week? 80% of the people who get their news from Fox had it wrong about whether or not Iraq was even a threat. Have I said yet tonight how much I loathe these people? I haven't. Well, we're an hour and 43 minutes into the program, and I haven't said it. May I? I loathe, I hate these people. Deep breath. Now, just one more. This is not directly connected. It's indirectly connected. This is from Common Dreams' main page. Rhetoric and reality. Halliburton versus U.S. troops. Did you see this? If you go to Common Dreams, you'd probably say, here's the rhetoric. This is too stupid to be president. September 12th. What is that, a month ago? Five weeks ago? Here's what he said. Our whole nation has been reminded that we can never take our military for granted. I will keep our military strong. America counts on the men and women who have stepped forward as volunteers in the cause of freedom. I want to thank you all for your good service. Thank you for the credit and honor you bring to our country every day. Here's the reality. Last Thursday, by a recorded vote of 213 ayes to 213 noes, the House rejected an amendment to increase the basic rate of pay to all military services by $265 million. That was the amount needed to provide a $1,500 bonus to each person serving in operations in Iraq or Afghanistan for fiscal year 2004. That $265 million is roughly equal to what Halliburton is overcharging the United States government in Iraq. Now, who's the United States government? I am. You are. The United States government has no money. I don't care who runs it. It can be Roosevelt, Clinton, Nixon, or Jesus. The only money the United States government has comes out of my pocket and the pockets of all of us taxpayers. So we are contributing $265 million in vigorish to Halliburton. They are ripping us off. Is that an impeachable offense?
Well, Mike, Halliburton is not the president.
Oh, you're right. $265 million, roughly equivalent to the amount of money Halliburton, by all estimates, is ripping us off, and the same $265 million could go to our soldiers. The Bush crime family hates the military. The Bush crime family, at every chance, will raise its leg and urinate on the nearest soldier. If that soldier happens to be at Walter Reed with an arm blown off, too bad! Piss on you! I am the Bush crime family. Give me your sons. Give me your daughters. We've got oil to secure. Good God. Are these impeachable offenses? No, they're not. And the reason they're not is because there is not one single Democrat. Boy, I hate to say that because that includes my the person I'm backing for the presidency, Dennis Kucinich. There is not one single Democrat who will stand in the well of the United States House of Representatives and introduce a bill of impeachment. No one. Not a soul. So these are not impeachable offenses. Having a preliminary sex play in the Oval Office with your girlfriend is. Well, I have not read David Korn's book. I'm way behind. All of a sudden, there's just a spate of books written by conscientious liberals and progressives. God knows, you have to You know, when I used to work for a radio station, we used to get free copies of the books. I have to go buy them now.
Yeah. Well, Mike, so do we.
I know. But I would try to get David Korn's book. And Kathy, thanks for digging up those quotes. Nothing is more highly motivated than a pissed off female producer of this program, as she was this morning when she listened to some of those phone calls. And if you watch Washington Journal this morning, you know exactly what she was talking about. Charles is calling from Augusta. Hey, Charles.
Mike, I'm telling you now, if you keep it up, they'll give you the same bed Tony Blair had.
Hey, I'm fine, man. Tony Blair, what did he have? Heart palpitations?
Well, I call it a heart attack. You know, you can call it anything you want to.
Yeah. How old? He's fairly young too. What is he? 50?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had heart palpitations. I'm not surprised he had heart palpitations. That's the devil tapping him on his shoulder. That's Satan saying, Tony, I'm going to pinch off your head and toss it into hell so that the little demons can use it as a soccer ball.
Mike, I think I saw the preview this weekend of what's to come.
Yeah.
When the Osama tape was authenticated by, I think it's Colonel Rick Francone, I think that's his name.
Mm-hmm,
And evidently the Bush Army had already sent him out there to do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Bush was right. The war on terrorism is in Iraq. And he wanted everyone to know that Bush got it right, that Osama was saying, that's where we're going to fight our war, and Bush was right all along.
Yeah, of course, the obvious, Bush created that rat's nest. Hey, hold on a second. I'll come back to you in just a second. Charles, we got to take a quick break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength myelin's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come come in 30 and 50-pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide.
Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples.
Aw.
Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Prepare to be astonished.
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kicking off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
Looks like our great leader is really getting a handle on this White House leak thing. I'm Gene Randall with this week's Cuckoo Conservatives. 2 weeks ago, he simultaneously promised to catch the senior administration official who revealed Valerie Plame's identity as a CIA agent and said that he had no idea if the person would be caught, which is pretty impressive. But last week, he really put his foot down, telling top officials to stop the leaks or else. The Philadelphia Inquirer reported that Bush, quote, didn't want to see any stories quoting unnamed administration officials in the media anymore, and if he did, there would be consequences, end quote. And how do we know all this? Because it was told to the Inquirer by, quote, a senior administration official who asked that his name not be used, end quote. Good job, George. You'll have those pesky leaks under control before you can say the Flockenhausen Hillipilification Administration. I'm Dean Randall with this week's Cuckoo Conservatives. Find out more at democraticunderground.com.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. All right, we're talking with Charles in Augusta, Georgia. Back to the, where were we, Charles? The Osama tape. Oh, by the way, that Osama tape, I've got a transcript from Al Jazeera that I will be posting at my website, MikeMalloy.com, when the program's over tonight, so people can read exactly what you're talking about.
Absolutely. We're talking about Colonel Francone, and obviously he had his talking points because he repeated that statement at least five or six times. Every time it came back to him, that was his segue.
Which statement, Charles?
That George Bush was right.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
That Iraq is the center of the war on terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
It was just unbelievable because I kept watching it and I kept waiting for him to try to alter that at least some, but it was just the same thing over and over again.
Well, we do have, you know, even though there's an awful lot of dissension in the ranks of the U.S. military, approaching open mutiny or rebellion, we still have command level officers who will do anything to not only retain their command, but to advance when all this stuff is over. This guy you're talking about,
he's retired, but he's their quote terrorism expert.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking about this Lieutenant General Boykin, the one who last week who said that the American people didn't elect Bush. He went on to say he didn't get the most votes, that God put Bush in office because God is, you know, that
right.
Whole thing we talked about last week. So,
I hope everyone feels real good to know that, you know, the billions of dollars that have been spent on Homeland Security and some 20-year-old college kid
box cutters,
right.
Box cutters, some liquid, and something that was the had the same viscous feel as plastic explosive. I understand, and watch what they do to this poor kid. You know, it was only 4 days prior to that. or a week prior to that, when a special investigative team that was legally authorized got stuff through a Boston Logan Airport onto airplanes, and nothing's going to happen to them. Here, this kid did the same thing to try to prove a point, and they're going to do something evil and bad to him, Charles. They're going to charge him with some sort of USA Patriot Act, anti-terrorism law. This kid is 20 years old, and God forbid what's going to happen to him, but it's going to be bad. You know it as well as I do.
I do.
Charles, thanks for checking in, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. All right, quick break. We'll be back. We'll take some phone calls as soon as we come back, but also something that was an investigative piece by the Toledo Blade newspaper. I want to talk about it a little bit when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
You're listening to Mike Molloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Molloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Molloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Molloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Under pressure from potential donors, the Bush administration will allow a new agency to determine how to spend billions of dollars in reconstruction assistance for Iraq. The new agency will be run by the World Bank and the United Nations and will work independently of the American occupation. They are to announce the change at a donor conference in Madrid later this week. The change effectively establishes some of the international control over Iraq that the United States opposed in the drafting of the United Nations Security Council resolution that passed on Thursday. Thursday's resolution referred to two established agencies to ensure that aid would be audited. But diplomats say other countries were unwilling to make donations, calling the United States an occupying power controlling Iraq's reconstruction and self-rule. 8 Marine reservists accused in the mistreatment of prisoners of war in Iraq were being held at Camp Pendleton on charges ranging from negligent homicide to dereliction of duty, military officials said. A lawyer representing one of the men said the Army did not have the necessary personnel to run the detention camp, and the reservists were untrained for the job. The reservists belonged to the 2nd Battalion, 25th Marine Regiment. Their hometowns were not immediately released, and it is not known if all had retained lawyers. A new poll suggests that unease with the current health care system has Americans thinking about a new approach that would mean care for all Americans and changes in laws governing prescription drugs. A 70% majority said it should be legal for Americans to buy prescription drugs outside the United States, according to the ABC News Washington Post poll. Such purchases can save money, but they violate the law. The poll found that more than half of Americans, 54%, are dissatisfied with the quality of health care in the United States.
More news after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Legal proceedings were expected Monday against a college student who is accused of hiding box cutters and other banned items aboard two Southwest Airlines planes. Prosecutors still were trying to determine what charges they might bring against Nathaniel Heatwell, a 20-year-old college student who had warned officials he would try to bring forbidden articles onto commercial flights to expose holes in security. Tall people earn considerably more money throughout their lives than their shorter co-workers, with each inch adding about $789 a year in pay, according to a new study. Two university professors analyzed results of four studies that included thousands of participants and examined details of their work and personal lives. The study was controlled for gender, weight, and age.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
No does not seem to be a concept that the ever-intrusive telemarketing industry is capable of comprehending. Even after 50 million Americans, including yours truly, signed up for the Do Not Call list that Congress approved, finally allowing us beleaguered folks a way to stop the incessant, inconvenient, and irritating sales calls from phone hucksters, the industry just kept coming. Indeed, the Direct Marketing Association, the front group for 5,000 of these diabolical dialing companies, has waged a relentless legal battle against us privacy seekers, claiming in court that we 50 million people have no right to say no to their automated invasions of our homes. To the contrary, they claim that corporations have a constitutional free speech right to barrage us as often as they want. Think about that. They sued us for trying to keep them from bothering us. But wait a minute. Guess whose names have cropped up among the 50 million on the Do Not Call list? Top executives of telemarketing corporations and of the Direct Marketing Association itself. In a delicious bit of journalistic digging, the Hartford Courant newspaper found that 11 of DMA's top honchos have their home numbers on the list, including two senior vice presidents, three other vice presidents, and four members of the association's board of directors. Apparently, those who make big bucks from the business of bothering people at home don't want to be bothered themselves. There are so many calls I don't want, complained a DMA senior vice president who recently retired. They are disturbing my routine, he says. Yes, sir, we know just how you feel. This is Jim Hightower saying, if there was a merit badge for hypocrisy, these people would be Eagle Scouts. I say they should have to publicize their phone numbers so we consumers can call them at home every night, right at dinner time.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Oh, by the way, regarding the troops in Iraq and the lies that were told, the murderous lies that were told to
send our military there. With all respect to good people who contribute to the sport, who happen to be backing Howard Dean, happen to be backing General, Wesley Clark, John Kerry. As you know, I think Dennis Kucinich should be the next president of the United States, and Kucinich is the only candidate, a potential candidate, that says he has a plan to bring the troops home now. Back to Bush for just a second. As you know, he's flitting around the Far East, like a fly around a cow pie. But during an interview broadcast by Australian television, Bush denied that our military is in the process of torturing presumed terrorists that we have shipped offshore to Cuba. No, not going to keep them here, going to keep them in Cuba. A lawyer in the U.S. is defending two Australians who are incarcerated on the base, and that lawyer accused the U.S. government and the American Army last Wednesday of having tortured these people. And the lawyer is threatening to bring a complaint before the United Nations. Bush, during an interview on Australian Channel 9, said, quote, "We don't torture people in America. And people who say we do simply know nothing about our country." Uh-huh. Well, George, it's not in America. It's in Cuba. Bush added that the two Australians had been sent to Guantanamo because they'd been captured on the battlefield, and we're trying to learn more about them to be sure that we completely understand. Now, the Australian lawyer that's based in the U.S., Richard Burke, had asserted on Australian radio that these two men, David Hicks and Mamdou Habib, had been subjected to tortures, quote, "worthy of the Middle Ages," end quote. Attorney Burke claimed that he was looking for a government sufficiently courageous to support the submission of a case to the United Nations Permanent Commission against Torture. Hicks was arrested in Afghanistan when he fought alongside the Taliban. He's suspected of links with the Al-Qaeda network. Habib had been taken in for questioning in Pakistan for presumed training with terrorists. But George Bush said, no, we don't torture people. I'm enough torture for the American people. Every time I open my stupid monkey mouth, it's torture. Michael is calling from Rochester, New York. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, thanks. Was listening to The Connection, which is an NPR show out of Boston earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. They had Biden and Hagel on. And other than the fact that Hagel's an idiot, I mean, not Hagel, Biden's an idiot for supporting the war in the first place. He doesn't really need a reason. He's just all in favor of it. He was pounding the table nuts about the fact that just straight up they lied. And Hagel was even funnier because he's a Republican and he's had some real concerns and issues about it. And he was kind of like, well, I wouldn't say that he's lying. I'd say that we just didn't get the whole truth, which was just the funniest thing in the world.
That is, you're right.
Well, Hagel is one of the few Republicans who has combat duty. He's been in war zone. He has fought, and obviously it was Vietnam. That's either good or bad, depending on your point of view on all that. But Hagel has been in a combat situation, one of the few Republicans. So I would imagine that Chuck Hagel has got to, as he processes the lies from the Bush crime family, he's got to remember his days in the service when the lies from the Johnson administration and the Nixon administration caused the deaths of 58,000 Americans and 2 million Indochinese. Perhaps he's thinking about that, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Now, the other thing that's getting, that one last thing on that show, and one more thing and I'm out of here. They had a caller call in,
mm-hmm.
Military wife. She's in South Carolina. Her husband's overseas. Husband was planning on doing 20 years. Her first words to him was, As soon as he gets home, we are so out of here.
Right.
We are done. Basically, the military families now are saying, we were lied to, and we're consistently lied to, and we've had enough. This is Bush's base.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. I mean, I don't know what to say to that, except that's good. People who join the military to go fight in wars will go fight in wars if they feel that the reason for fighting in the war has to do with protecting this country, protecting our institutions, what have you. When they find out, when people who are putting their lives on the line, even some of these really jacked up 19 and 20 and 21 year olds, when they find out that it was all a lie, they tend to get a little bit pissed off. Now, in Vietnam, I was not there. A lot of people who were in Vietnam, and most of us know from media reports, when the soldiers got finally pissed off enough and refused to obey orders and started fragging their own junior officers, lieutenants and majors, and you know, blowing them to pieces because they wanted to come home and get the hell out of that death trap, I think that we might be getting close to that now.
Let's hope not. Last thing, if you've noticed, I've been listening to a lot of other shows. I love yours, but I listen to others too.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right.
The new thing you're hearing in talk radio is whenever you put out some facts that aren't in the regular media,
mm-hmm.
the first thing everybody says, oh, is that one of those Internet things?
Yeah, right.
Is that one of those Internet things?
Right.
And it's funny because I'm sitting here going, you mean because no major newspaper has reported, because Fox News hasn't said it's right.
Right.
It can't be right. And it's funny. No one will touch Greg Palast with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, they're terrified of him.
But the minute you say his name on a radio show,
yeah.
they freak out.
Yeah.
They freak out.
Oh,
that's one of those Internet things. Well,
yeah, Internet thing, right.
Bring him on, you know? I mean, right. if he's, you know, the funny thing about it is if Greg Palast is such a nutcase, I just want one of these shows to bring him on, sit him down for an hour, and go toe-to-toe with the guy. Because if he's nuts, and I know he's not, but if he's
right.
nuts, You prove to the world that he's nuts. You shut him down. Not only do you shut him down, you shut down Michael Moore because Michael gets all his research from Greg.
He does get a lot of it. Of course, Greg Palast, far from being an Internet dude, as you know, was a journalist for the BBC, for the Guardian of London. His reports are legion. His reports on business corruption. He is to the international business corruption and poison, the same as Robert Fisk, who also writes for the UK press and reports occasionally for the BBC, the same as Robert Fisk is to the lies and deceptions that are used by the British and the American military commands. So between the two of them, Fisk and Greg Palast, you have the equivalent, only with teeth, of Woodward and Bernstein.
Well, you know, we keep these guys going. Let's keep supporting indie media, all that nice fun stuff. And, you know, folks, if you're listening to this show, turn somebody on to it. I'm going to try and talk to our indie media group here in Rochester, see if we can get start throwing your shows up on the indie media site so folks can pull it off there in addition to White Rose. Can't have too many places to find you.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Michael.
All right.
Appreciate that very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, sir. Take care. Appreciate you checking in. All right, Vietnam. What do we do about this? Do we do anything about this? Here's the story. The Defense Department, our Defense Department, is refusing to reopen an investigation into atrocities committed in Vietnam by a special U.S. Army reconnaissance unit, despite new allegations of war crimes, including ghastly killings and torture of Vietnamese civilians. Now, this is a lifetime ago, right? We have a lot of guys listening to this program who served in not the Vietnam era. They served in Vietnam. And I wonder how Joe down in Texas and Roger over here in Augusta and our music bureau chief, Jim, Iowa, our former assistant military attaché. Well, God, I'm drawing a blank. He's going to hate me. We have a real strong cadre of combat zone veterans people who served in Vietnam. And I just wonder what these men think of the story. The statement from the Defense Department that, no, we're not going there, came in response to a probe of the activities of the so-called Tiger Force. An investigation undertaken by, this has been an eight-month-long investigation in the United States and Vietnam. It included more than 100 interviews. The piece has concluded that the highly decorated platoon that operated in South Vietnam's Central Highlands as part of the 101st Airborne Division was possibly responsible for the murder of several hundred Vietnamese civilians in 1967. Now, the French news agency has picked this up. It says women and children were intentionally blown up in underground bunkers and were practically buried alive in mass graves. Elderly farmers were shot as they worked in their fields. Prisoners were tortured and executed while their ears and scalps were severed for souvenirs, according to the report. One soldier kicked out the teeth of executed civilians for their gold fillings. Harold Fisher, a former Tiger Force medic, is quoted in the paper as saying, "We would go into a village and just shoot everybody. We didn't need an excuse. If they were there, they were dead. It just made me sick." According to the Toledo Blade, commanders knew about the platoon's atrocities and in some cases encouraged them. Now, you'll remember who was responsible for the attempted My Lai massacre cover-up. That was Colin Powell, back when he was, I believe, a lieutenant colonel. And you got to wonder, don't you? I mean, I do. About how much of this Colin Powell knew about. But the question here, and it's a question, I don't do this too often, should this be pursued? We're talking 35 years ago. But the interviews and the reports coming out in this Toledo Blade investigation are just, they make the skin on the back of your head just crawl. I mean, these were not combat situations in the strictest sense. A lot of people will say, Malloy, you're crazier than hell. Every single person in Vietnam was an enemy combatant. But these were civilians rounded up, tortured, and butchered. Should we pursue the investigation or not?
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
An email that I
I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week, I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why not
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. If you don't want to go here, we won't go here. But again, ToledoBlade.com. It started Sunday's paper. Part two was today. I don't know if it's two or three, four-part series. But apparently evidence from Americans and Vietnamese of horrible, horrible atrocities committed by our side in that war. I mean, some stuff that is really blood-curdling. And I just wondered, what is the point in going into this? Request made to the Defense Department to open an investigation and pursue wherever this goes is being turned down by the U.S. Defense Department at the present time. If there's one thing I think this country could use, it would be a truth and reconciliation commission modeled on the one that was put together in South Africa after the end of the apartheid regime, or the apartheid system that went on for, 150 years? There was an attempt at reconciliation by allowing people who would come forward from both sides, mostly from the white oppressor, but in some instances from black Africans who also fought in so many instances against using terror tactics against their own people that they saw as cooperating with the apartheid regime, but various apartheid regimes. But the Truth and Reconciliation Commission was designed to try to heal what 200 years of racist rule in South Africa had left that country with. If we ever had a Truth and Reconciliation Commission in this country, Jesus, it would go on for what, maybe 100 years before all the witnesses had a chance to testify, going all the way back to not just indigenous people here, but what was done to Africans, what was done in the Philippines at the turn of the century, what was done in Central America, what was done in Southeast Asia. Maybe we couldn't handle it, but as a society, maybe some things are best kept buried. But for anyone who really truly still believes that we have always been the good guys, that we've always ridden the white horses and worn the white hats, I don't think people like that could handle the truth, you know, to take that line again from A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth. And I think possibly that's exactly what Colonel, what was his name? What was the character's name, Kathy? The Jack Nicholson character. That's possibly what he meant when he screamed it at what's his name? Tom Cruise. I can't remember movie star actors. I just can't do it. I'm sorry. You can't handle the truth. So here we have this multi-part investigation by the Toledo Blade newspaper and American soldiers who participated in this, who are suffering now the tortures of the damned. A lot of them. A couple of the people in the article said they would do it all over again. But for the most part, these are people who. Americans, anyway, who you know, they're getting up there in years, late 50s, early 60s. You know, the Grim Reaper is not that far away, right? And maybe it has something to do with clearing one's conscience before one steps into oblivion. I don't know. I don't know what motivates. Maybe it's the guilt. Maybe it's the horror, the memories. But should we go into this? Scott's calling from Santa Fe. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, children can handle the truth. Why not grown adults? I have a book that I'd like to toss out for people.
Can you hold on a second?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we got to do a break. We'll come right back to you.
Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the
thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists say DNA in the tissue of whales tells a story that more people need to hear. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. People who hunted whales in the North Atlantic Ocean years ago kept records of how many they saw. The records go back about 150 years, and they're still important today. The International Whaling Commission uses them as a measure of how many whales inhabited the North Atlantic before whaling began, and it uses that estimate to regulate hunting now. But recent studies suggest that those estimates are way off, and that whale numbers might be dangerously low. Steve Palumbi is a biologist at Stanford University, and he studies the genes of fin whales, minke whales, and humpbacks. Palumbi says there is a tremendous amount of variability in their genetic makeup. In fact, he says there's so much variability that it suggests their populations were much higher than what was recorded by whalers a century or more ago. He says the numbers written down in old logbooks are largely based on unknown papers and observations.
What that suggests to us is that there's been too much complacency in just accepting those historic numbers based on whale logbooks. The way those numbers have been generated and the way they've been used to set whale conservation targets is not very transparent. It's very difficult to figure out exactly how that was done.
Palumbi says the International Whaling Commission considers whale populations to be stable as long as they're 50% of what they were before hunting began. But he says 50% of what's in the old whaling records is much smaller than 50% of the whales that were really in the oceans. The genetic research suggests that some whale populations today are at less than 10% of their natural numbers and that they might need serious protection to start recovering. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot fight a guerrilla war with conventional forces.
When were you in Vietnam, George? You were in Texas, and then you deserted your unit. Oh, Jesus. All right, we're talking with Scott in Santa Fe about this article, a two- or three-part investigation in the Toledo Blade, a newspaper in Toledo, Ohio. ToledoBlade.com, I would imagine, is the URL. Check it out. It's about a series of horrendous atrocities committed by this Tiger unit, whatever it was, in the 101st Airborne Division of Vietnam. Now, where were we, Scott?
Well, first off, I have to admit a disclaimer. I have not read the series that you're talking about. However, I'll check it out.
Okay.
But the everybody has certainly heard of Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States.
Right.
Well, now he's series editor of a ongoing historical treatment, People's History of. And this book that I just read a week ago was by Jonathan Neale, N-E-A-L-E, called A People's History of the Vietnam War, for which, of course, Howard Zinn writes a little intro. And this is very, very good. The guy is roughly my age. He's a little over 50. I'm a little under 50. And so he was of that age, you know, when it was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he presents from various different angles, very well annotated and documented, different perspectives. And I'd highly recommend it. It gets in-depth into exactly what you're talking about. I don't have it in front of me, so I can't cite chapter and verse.
A People's History of the Vietnam War?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
By Jonathan Neale.
N-E-A-L-E.
Yes.
Okay. She's another one to go on my reading list. Maybe other folks who don't have two or three books going right now like I do would check it out.
Yeah, well, I know the feeling, but you know, you've got to stay on top of everything topical as well as do things in depth. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Scott.
All right.
All right,
bye.
Sir. Have a nice evening. A People's History of the Vietnam War. Jonathan Neale, N-E-A-L-E. Okay. John is calling from Buffalo, New York. John, this is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is.
Welcome award. You're a Vietnam vet?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What's your take on this?
Well, I just want to say I spent 14 months over there, and I was lucky to get home safely, and I thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
But in Vietnam, they didn't use depleted uranium type shells and things like that.
No, but we sure as hell used a lot
in
of
Iraq,
Agent Orange.
They used all their weapons are mainly depleted uranium.
Yeah, that's
they're,
true.
They're stuffed with this stuff.
Uh huh.
And I've been doing some research here, you know, and for instance, depleted uranium, which the code is U-238, has 4,500 million years as a half-life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's easily inhaled because it becomes like an oxide.
Mm-hmm.
And there are very fine granules that are so fine you can breathe them in. They can be on your clothing. And
John?
Yes.
John, a question. We've talked about depleted uranium an awful lot on this program. What is your take, if you don't mind my asking, on this series that is being done by the Toledo Blade about these horrendous atrocities that were committed in Vietnam? My question was, do we think, as especially people who served in Vietnam, is it a good idea to open this investigation, or should we just say, well, it was 35 years ago, there's nothing that can be done?
No, I believe investigation should be opened.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when innocent people are killed, someone's got to be held accountable for that.
You'd think, you were in Vietnam. You know that at least what was reported to us back in the States by people returning from Vietnam, that everyone was considered an enemy, correct?
Yeah. The fact is, with the VC, in street clothes and everything, you didn't know who your enemy was. It's similar to Iraq right now, you know.
Yeah. Do you see the situation in Iraq developing into, I hate to use the cliche, but developing into another Vietnam?
The potential is there.
You think so?
Yeah, but that could be avoided if we're smart enough to learn something, a lesson from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Make the comparisons, and there's a great many comparisons to make.
Mm-hmm.
And use reason and get the hell out of there. I'm going to Washington on Saturday for the mass protest there.
Yeah.
By the way, well, Mike, I thank you for allowing me to get on your program.
Oh, John, hey, it's your program, too. The only reason I wanted to move away from the DU, a depleted uranium thing, to the Vietnam thing is because you had the experience here. We have spent a lot of time talking about depleted uranium, not just in Iraq, but during the Clinton administration, it was used by NATO forces.
Right, in Kosovo.
That's right, against the Serbian people, Yugoslavian people, to the extent that country now is littered with, as you pointed out, stuff that has 4.5 billion year half-life. So it's astonishing what we're doing. It's just unbelievable. John, I hope you have a good day in D.C. and take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you.
All right, sir. Don't be a stranger. Call us again.
I will.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Krista in Ohio, regarding war crimes, the question, should this be investigated? The Defense Department is saying we're not going to look at it. Krista writes, Mike, yes, we must stop turning our children into killers, and the only way to do that is through a process of truth and reconciliation. There can be no statute of limitations on war crimes. Shirley emails in, Mike, it is my opinion that when the U.S. allows crimes to be committed without accountability, whether it be military or in our government, these crimes are out of the public knowledge and the public becomes indifferent when they are repeated by our military and our government. I feel this is a mistake. All right. I guess we should move away from that topic. Unless, Kathy, is there somebody else who wants to talk about that particular topic, Kathy? No? Okay. All right. Let's, we'll come back to it. I'm sure we'll come back to it. Tom is calling from Chicago. Tom, welcome to the program. That was quick, wasn't it?
That was great. Well, it was so nice to fight you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You must have listened back in the WLS days.
That's right.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I was checking your internet site. And it's kind of emotional anyway. You know, you were talking about the Vietnam thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, You know, I would say that we should drop it, and I'll tell you the reason.
Okay.
The reason is, look at Bush. You know, he never went there. And also, a lot of the Republicans never went there.
Right.
And I think that what's going to happen is those poor guys, they had to put up with all that stuff there. They're going to become the fall guys on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think that, you know, because what's going to happen is, you know, these people have a tendency to be kind of hypocritical.
Right.
Here they never went, and they're always, like, they're always waving the flag, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that we should let it go.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure a lot of people share that thought. Did you serve in Vietnam?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But I had friends that did.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I was.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
you were in the same boat.
The stories that came back were just hard to believe at first.
Exactly.
And then. Hard to watch what happened to a couple of friends of mine who came back who didn't have a real easy reentry.
I think.
If you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, it was even a friend of mine. He served in the Air Force,
mm-hmm.
you know. And even there, which was not really in direct fire, the scars were there.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, and that's why, you know, when you brought this up, I said, you know, I haven't talked to you for a long time. And in fact, I never called you when you were in Chicago.
Huh.
But you struck a chord. So I said, let me call.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's good to have you in the air.
Well, hey, listen, Tom, I'm real sorry about what happened to the Cubs.
Well, you know, what can you do? Next year.
Next year, yeah, right.
Well, the Cubs are always everlasting. You know, the Cub fans are fantastic in that sense, you know.
They are.
We will overcome someday, you know.
Yeah, right. I think somebody wrote a song about that.
That's for sure. That's exactly.
Tom, good to hear from you. Don't be a stranger, all right?
I won't. I got you on the internet now, so I will pass on the word, too.
Thank you, sir.
Certainly. Have a good evening.
All right, you too, Tom. Thanks for checking in. Couple little items here. We're just about out of time, but these are things to collect. Did you hear? This is just last week. The mayor of Santa Cruz, California, Emily Riley, she's had a couple of unusual events involving her bakery. She owns a bakery. These unusual events have occurred in the few days since the city council in Santa Cruz decided to challenge George Bush. It was Mayor Emily Riley who sent a letter to Washington after a Santa Cruz City Council vote on September 9th. She sent a letter to Washington asking the U.S. House Judiciary Committee to consider impeaching George Bush. 4 days later, let's call him a sophisticated burglar, pried the molding off a window at Emily's bakery. It's the Good Things to Eat bakery. The burglar somehow evaded a motion detector that was pretty thorough in sweeping the premises. The burglar stole an old computer hard drive and the hard drive backup. Then on September 17... Emily's Good Things to Eat bakery was visited by an agent of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration who introduced himself, showed his identification, and looked around. Now, Emily Riley, the mayor of Santa Cruz and the woman who owns this bakery, says she's not really convinced there's any link between her city council did and the unusual events at her business. She said, "I think it's a coincidence. I don't think it's healthy to dwell on the possibility of conspiracy. It tends to make people afraid, and I don't think that's a good place to be. I'd rather be positive and move on." Boy, I wish I had Miss Riley's frame of mind here. She said, I'd rather be positive. Now, a spokeswoman for the Food and Drug Administration, Veronica Castro, said it might take her a few days to find the specific reasons that Emily's bakery got a surprise visit. But suspicions are running kind of high among other bakers in Santa Cruz. Another woman, June Hoffman, who co-owns the downtown Santa Cruz Hoffman's Bakery Cafe, said that in almost two decades of running her store, she's never been visited by the FDA. Over at the House of Bread, the bakers over there were baffled as well. The woman who runs that one said, not one of our 10 House of Breads has ever been visited by the FDA. I'd say this sounds a little suspect. Now, last Wednesday, the city of Arcata followed Santa Cruz's move, and that city unanimously adopted a letter urging the Judiciary Committee to investigate whether the Bush administration violated the Constitution by exaggerating the threat posed by Iraq before the war. We don't have any Democrats in Congress, you see, who have the courage to do this, but members of city councils in small towns are willing to do it. A member of the Arcata Council took the letter to Washington last Thursday, hoping to hand-deliver the letter on Capitol Hill while he was attending a conference of representatives of the 188 cities and three states that have publicly opposed the USA Patriot Act. The Arcata Council member Dave Meserve said he expected federal scrutiny of the conference attendees. A story like that can creep you out, can it? Huh? But Emily Riley says, "No, I don't know. That's I think it's just a coincidence. You know, coincidence just the word coincident. It just happened to occur." Is there a cause and effect? When the rooster crows, is he making the sun come up? You know what I'm talking about, right? Food and Drug Administration. The Bush crime family will use any regulatory organization it can to intimidate Americans.
Take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a.
Need more tissues.
Sleep like a.
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply call. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Joe is calling from Cypress Springs, Texas. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, I've seen that on the Moxie now this morning. It's like a ghost from the past.
That story?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me mad. And I mean, I know it shouldn't, but it made me mad, you know. And I don't know whether it should be investigated or not.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's a personal journey. For myself, it's a personal journey. And I know guys that done some of that over there
mm-hmm.
in my group. And I've done stuff that I wished I hadn't done over there.
Right.
And I don't know why I done it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sat around in a BTS group, D group, it would be, I guess I just take it a little bit different. Because I know what they went through.
Right.
And what they got through, and they're still going through, you know, since they got back.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still living with it.
I think what I'm hearing you say, Joe, is this should not be investigated. That 35 years ago.
Well, look how much is going on now that they won't even investigate.
I understand.
I mean,
this
I think everybody should be held liable for what they do, you know. But I still have a feeling, I can't keep from having a feeling that I know that some of the word it done wrong, and
right.
still, you know,
mm-hmm.
and still say we'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy in my group like that, but you know he's changing. He's mailing out, but he was ordered. He was in recon.
Mm-hmm.
He was ordered to do things like that, to cut off ears and do stuff like that.
Jesus.
Because that was his job. That was his. He was to mess with the enemy's mind.
Right, right.
And
well, see that's why it. I've got real.
Let me say one more thing.
All right.
If they don't want these like things like this to happen, quit putting our kids, 18-year-old, 20-year-old kids, over in places like that.
Well, that's the bottom line. Isn't
yeah.
It? That's the bottom line. Joe, we're flat out of time. Thank you, pal. I appreciate you calling in, man.
Okay.
All right, sir. Take care.
All right.
Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Jay Balicki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Thanks to Mark Marshall, our webmaster, MaximumInteractive.com, and our militant mods at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out if you haven't been there. Why not? Also, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Thank you, sir. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons.